This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis.
Hi, everyone. This is episode number 61, maybe? Yeah, 61. This is 61 with Chris Bivona. Chris is the founder of a company called Ski Town All Stars. They make hats. They make clothing. They're like a lifestyle brand. Really cool company, blowing up on social media. And just overall, like some of the fastest turnarounds in the ski biz as far as custom hats and custom gear goes. So definitely check them out. We're going to talk a bunch about that stuff. We'll talk about living in Vail. We'll talk about me getting my ass kicked on the mountain bike ride we went on, kind of, mostly by the altitude, man. It is not the same thing as it is in New England. At all, in case, I mean, I feel like that should be obvious, but like riding in Vail, Eagle, whoever knows wherever we rode, was great, but definitely not the easiest thing in the world. I think the difference is like people always talk about that shit. It's not so much the elevation, even, it's just that it's sustained climbing for a while. Like the climb we did was like 22, 25, something like that, minutes, like with no breaks and no like pausing. And in New England, it's like, it's a lot of punchy climbs in the trails, you know? It's like, it's pretty in and out. It's like, you either go super hard for a short amount of time, or you can go hard the whole time, but it's not like, it's not that long. Like, you know the climb's going to end soon. It's like, with this, it felt like, Jesus. Like, when are we going to get to the end? Like, because I've been here for 6 years now, it feels like, and we're still going up. And that was right off the plane. And then we did this episode. We got some burrito bowls or taco bowls or whatever you call them. And then we got to hang out at the, well, I guess I got to hang out at the office. He hangs out at the office all the time. The office of the Ski Town All-Stars, which is brand new. It's pretty cool. The ski bar is awesome. The custom hat bar. It's not a custom hat bar. What did he say? He mentions it in the episode, like what he's calling it. But either way, it was, it's awesome. It's seriously so much fun there. They're right across from the river. They're right next to the Eastvale Chutes. It's just an awesome spot. It's awesome to see from the time we did the last podcast to the time we're at now. Like the first one we were doing it in his garage, and now we're doing it in his new space. Like it's a legit space. I feel like I've said 75 times, and I don't usually say that much in the intros, and there's another one. But yeah, Chris is a great dude. I really enjoyed doing this episode. I always enjoy doing the episodes. I actually really like the second or third times that people will come on the show, because like you get to like really, you're just kind of normal with them. You know, it's not as much of an interview, and you just can kind of have a conversation. And I think as we start to do longer and longer episodes, or, you know, with different people, we'll be able to do a little more of that. And I think that's something I'd like to do, but just because I like talking, especially if like we get to do an activity first, like that's really the part that I like the most. Like for this, we got the ride beforehand. Like I love being able to ride first or ski first or go experience a place first. Cause then you have something to really talk about. Cause you just did something. It's not just like, hey, you did this and you're this guy. But yeah, I mean, it's a good time. Anyway, before we get into the episode, this is 61, right? Yeah, 61. This episode is sponsored by, well, Fisher Skis, as always. I was going to say this episode is sponsored by Fisher Skis, but it's always sponsored by Fisher Skis because they're the title sponsor and they're the best. So, shout out those guys. This episode is also sponsored by Burn Helmets. Burn Helmets is a helmet manufacturer, if you couldn't figure that out from the name. And they make some awesome stuff. They've been supporting us over the past couple months, and it's really the only helmet I've been using. I use the Heist in the winter just because I like the shape of it. It's very like, it's kind of like traditional ski dad-y, but not like, it's like cool rad dad ski helmet style. They do make like the park style lids in the Baker. They make all kinds of awesome helmets for the winter side of things. They also make an awesome mountain bike helmet that I've been using called the FL1 XC. They make it in a MIPS and a non-MIPS version. For people that don't know what MIPS is, it's I forget what it actually stands for, but it's the rotational protection at your head, basically. So what that means is it's going to reduce the amount of impact to the inside of your head. Concussions, blah, 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 blah. But it's been shown to significantly reduce that, because a normal helmet, like a normal helmet shell, I actually had a conversation with a lady today that was like, oh yeah, like helmets don't protect the inside of your head. I mean, and not really. I mean, because I guess if it's like a branch and the other option is it going through your skull, yeah, then it totally protects the inside of your head rather. But I obviously that's a little dark, but, and this is a long ad read, but it just doesn't protect from any internal damage. So MIPS, it's been around for a few years now, and it has really, really made a big difference. And you're starting to see some other companies now come out with their own proprietary version. MIPS is still the leader in this category, and Burn uses this stuff super heavy. I've been running an FO1 XC with the MIPS in it. I've got this like dope turquoise color with the red straps, and I've been really into it. But they make a bunch of stuff. If you guys decide you want a helmet, you can use promo code Out of Bounds to save some cash on your purchase of a new lid. And that's the deal. And let's get into this episode. Why don't we? If you want to follow Chris on Instagram, he will plug his handle. It's CJBVO. On Instagram, and then Ski Town All Stars. Instagram's kind of the jam, but you can find them either way. So without further ado, here is episode number 61. What's going on?
What's happening, man?
So tell the people. Well, if people have listened to previous episodes, they know who you are. But or are on Instagram, I guess they know who you are. But who are you? What do you do?
My name is Chris Bavona. I run Ski Town All Stars based here in Vail, Colorado. We make premium and custom hats.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sick.
We make a lot of hats.
How long have you been doing it?
I think September's 2 years, so whatever the math of that is, maybe 21, 21 months.
Almost 2 years would be fine, probably.
Yeah, almost 2 years. Yeah. Almost 2 years.
Cool. How's it been going? Are you happy with it? Like, what's the scoop?
Things are going really well. We're, we started in the kitchen, then moved to the kitchen and living room, and then we moved into a 2-car garage. But waking up every morning and having 2 high school kids down there working was a little overwhelming. And so we finally, in March, mid-March, moved into a space in East Vail where we have a showroom and the Hat Bistro. And it's right at the bottom of East Vail Chutes. You can hop on the Gore and stand up paddleboard at the Gore. So it's a pretty sweet location. 9-minute commute with the Gore in the view. So super stoked to just keep growing.
Sick. Yeah, the new space is fucking dope.
It's fun. It's super fun.
It's a good spot. And it's like homey, kind of. Yeah. You know, like it's very proper. It's very new, but it feels right, I guess.
Yeah, this bar kind of... I think a lot of people saw this bar on Instagram. We cut up a lot of skis.
It's really fucking good.
They were all delamed. People were like, oh my God, you're cutting up a pair of 108 Mindbenders. Those are like not even out yet. We can't even get those.
And yeah, you're cutting
them. I was like, out. I was, you know, it was a nasty edge compression at, you know, someone going off something and hitting a rock. So luckily we got some sweet line and K2 skis in this bar. And we built it. Myself, me and my main guy, Chris, poured the epoxy. It's a little bit of a work in progress, but it's done. And yeah, it just kind of makes it homey and kind of represents who we are and what we do.
Yeah, it's really, really fucking cool. So business is booming then, I guess.
Yeah, huh? Business is good. You know, we keep opening up wholesale accounts. We just got into all the Gorsuches, which is sweet. We're in a ton of Vail resorts as well as a bunch of local stores. Our custom business is really booming. We just did some hats from RMU. We just did some hats for Red Bull. You know, always trying to push that D2C where the margins are.
Yeah.
It's always, you never know when you're going to pop off like 5 orders in an hour or not get an order for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So you never know. So that's always the interesting part of running a company like this where, you know, obviously you want to push the direct to consumer because that's where the margins are, but it takes a lot of time to make the website look good. We've just kind of revamped the website. So I'm super stoked about that. And, yeah, things are good. Things are really good. Hired a full-time guy, so it's not as stressful as it used to be when we were in last time we did this, we were in my garage. and then we've got a bunch of part-time guys, like my buddy Brian Finno. He's a big-time skier. He works here.
Yep.
A couple local high school kids work here, a couple other ski instructors, snowboard instructors. So it's a fun crew, and we're just kind of we're sweating away here in the sweatshop making hats.
Why hats? I mean, I'm sure we went over this the first time, but I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, no. Like I said in the last episode, I was a rep for a bunch of brands. One of them in particular that always stood out was Mons Royale. They make amazing stuff, but, you know, size runs of shirts, men's, women's, different colors, different. So, you know, you got extra small through extra large, multiple colors, men's, women's, multiple, you know, short sleeve, long sleeve, raglans, and just inventory. You know, and what we do is we basically, order comes in, we order the hats, we make the hats, and we put them out the door. So one size fits all. It's kind of probably why a lot of other brands, hat brands, are saying hat brands and not doing, you know, making just some random, like, let's go make windbreakers. Or, you know, I think it's one size fits all models are pretty awesome, especially with we're super tight on our inventory. We order things and then we put them out the door the same week.
Yeah.
So it's a cool model.
Yeah, that model, I think, seems to work really well. At least for you guys, it does. And for hats, it does. Because it's like, you see so many hat companies. I mean, there's a million fucking hat companies out there. It's just to be profitable and to, like, have a business that works well is not an easy
thing to do. I think what happens a lot of time is just you got, you know, a SKU might not work. And, you know, then you've got, say, a minimum of 1,000 or 500. You got 500 of this one hat that's a total dud and
can't give them away.
We'll make 24 a dozen of a style, and if it's hot, we'll make a ton of them, and if it's a dud, we'll stop making them and we'll put them on our closeout section of our website. So
yeah,
it's a pretty cool model where, you know, the beanies are tough because we got to order those ahead of time, but I'm not too worried about them. We've got decent stock, but, you know, I think as we grow and as people, you know, find out who we are, and, you know, we're known as a trucker company, right? We're known as a hat company, or, you know, a summer cat company. But I think the beanie business is where we can grow and where we can expand. So I'm super stoked about that. So yeah, things are good. Things are moving forward.
The branding aspect of it, I think you guys do a really good job too. I mean, you guys had fucking Michaela Schifrin wearing your hat on Jimmy Fallon. Like, that's,
yeah, there's been a lot of cool little home runs here and there. Yeah. You know, social media home runs, kind of conversational home runs. You know, we still use some hats for Lindsey Vonn Foundation, but, you know, Michaela with the Jimmy Fallon picture was awesome.
And, yeah.
You know, my friend Megan at the U.S. Ski Team, she's always rocking the lids with Michaela on the podium. The Mickey is a Babe hat.
Yeah.
So that helps because that's kind of our core demographic is that, you know, skier, that hardcore skier. And, you know, we did all the hats for Free Skier Mag this year we'd made those tester hats, which were a hit.
Those are great.
Those were pretty funny. What are you testing at? We're testing skis. Just says tester, Free Skier.
No big deal.
So that was awesome. And just kind of, you know, doing some stuff with Red Bull this year has been really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of get involved in their circle. Little hits on Instagram. Like, you know, even, you know, Chris Davenport, you know, he does some Portillo hats, which is super cool. And just kind of little hits here and there definitely help grow the brand, grow the exposure. You know, doing all the testing I do for Free Skier and Ski helps out a lot. Just getting to know, you know, Joe Johnson from Salomon and getting to know, you know, all the Free Skier boys and John Jay from Ski Mag and just kind of getting to know everybody in the industry is half the battle, as you know. You know, becoming part of that brotherhood almost, that brother and sisterhood of the ski world.
Of the industry. Yeah, it's a weird thing, right? Like, you kind of have to be, like, part of the cool kids club for you to get anything done, it feels like, you know?
Yeah, no, but it's also awesome because everybody at all those things we just spoke about are just like us. Like, they're getting out there, they're getting after it, you know?
They're awesome people. Yeah. It's not like it's, like, a cool kids club, like, you're fucking shitting on people for not being cool, but, like, it's like they're just doing cool shit.
Yeah, it's very, you know, like-minded people, and I think that's the key to why we're in it, and, you know, why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I think it's easy if you like doing it too, especially like in this industry. It's it makes it easy, man. It really does.
For sure.
So why do you, like, you ski, obviously, and you ride bikes, obviously. We rode today.
Yeah. We went today. We had a fun little hour jaunt on in Avon on a pretty cool trail called Lee's Way and Senderizer.
Fucking sucking wind.
Sucking wind in the high alpine at like probably 89,000 feet probably.
Fuck. There.
Yeah, I could definitely feel.
Yeah, but Adam, you crushed it, man. I was super impressed. I thought for sure we were going to be stopping.
No, none of that.
Had that Strava going.
Yeah, and I got to put that Strava. Dude, I'm not fucking around here, all right? I got to go. I know how to get beat up well. That's the only thing I know how to do is just get beat up. Like, it's that's the best part about mountain biking, I think.
Yeah, but it was a perfect Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a perfect little Sunday.
It's fucking awesome. And you did some farmer's market stuff this morning.
Yeah, just kind of grinding away right now.
Grind never stops.
Yeah, never stops. We had my buddy's 5K Memorial Run. My buddy Mindu that passed in Eastvale this year. We had that on Saturday.
Yep.
We gave back $10 every hat we sold to that. We did the t-shirts for that. And then Sunday farmer's market. And then tomorrow we're vending all week for an event as well. So it's tis the season. Tis the season of vending and grinding.
Is it summer or winter for you? Like, what's busy?
I don't know. Seems like every month gets busier and busier. It's hard to tell year over year when you look at your QuickBooks and month by month sales, but it definitely is growing month over month. But we definitely do a lot of summer business, which in the beginning I didn't think was going to be that way. And honestly, when you sell skis, when I was a rep, it was pretty awesome to hang up the towel and after the deadlines. And now we're not. There's no hanging up the towel. We had 1 week in March where I was a little nervous because no orders came in, and then without further ado, it was like all end of May, mid May, end of May, early June was just cranking away. Like sometimes we had two shifts of guys coming in here, filling orders, doing hats, making production, doing production. So I think it's turning into a year-round business, which is not what I wanted, but it's.
It's weird for a brand named Ski Town All Stars.
Yeah,
you know?
To have a summer. But I mean, I think that goes along with, the amount of things you can do in a ski town in the summer is far surpasses the what you can do. You know, everything in the winter is revolving around the snow. You know, whether you're snowshoeing or cross country skiing or sledding, or ice skating. I mean, everything's outside in the cold. And in the summertime in ski towns, you got the fishing, you got the stand-up paddle boarding. We've got this awesome new wave in Eagle that we've been going down to, this standing wave. You've got the mountain biking. You've got the hiking. You've got so many things, so many different. They're much different than, cross-country skiing to sledding to snowboarding to skiing. You know, the summer is so much more diverse, and I think that's, there's more and more people coming into town every year. So that's kind of, why it's, I think the business in the summer is just as busy.
Yeah, I think it's weird though, because here it's like that, but it's not in New England. It's not really like that, Like the ski town vibe in the summer is not.
No, I think we said this before, but the Whistler thing kind of is what's I think Whistler in the summer is just as busy as in the winter, and you go in the winter and that place is awesome and wild and fun.
Yeah,
and then in the summertime the bike scene's out of control. So I think these mountains are finding a way to diversify their income by, having these really cool adventure parks. I mean, the stuff up on the top of the Vail is actually really fun, like the Alpine Coaster and all the ropes courses and stuff. So
yeah,
I think they're finally figuring out how to diversify the year and bring people in, even in the mud season, bring people in. The town's pretty busy even in these off-season.
Business to be had. Yeah. I think here it's kind of different too because people know Vail as Vail, so people will come and they'll hang out in town and they'll just cruise around the village, and it's a sight to see in itself,
If you've never we sold some hats today to some people that had never been to Vail, and they're like, we can't believe this place, this is unbelievable.
It is. I know you guys take it for granted, a little bit at least. Yeah. It's fucking beautiful. Even I've been here before and I've seen a ton of places like this, but it's it's amazing. It's totally different than what a lot of people have at home.
Super fortunate, super, super, super fortunate to live here and kind of blessed every day that, I get to do my 9-minute commute and look at the Gore Range. And granted, we're on 70, which my Aspen buddies always give me crap for, but
what's the problem with 70?
It's the nicest truck stop in the country. I'm going to make a shirt that says that.
It's
the prettiest
dude,
truck stop in the country.
It's definitely slow going. it's something to write home about for sure. I like today on my way over, I got it three or four times, and I was like, is this going to be one of these fucking times when I'm sitting in traffic for 3 hours? But we made it okay. So
nice.
It is what it is. So what's next for you? What's the next? Not I know we said you're going to events this week, but what's next for the brand? What's your next step?
Oh, man, I think right now we're just gonna keep grinding, keep trying to open up wholesale accounts. We do really well in Colorado. We're doing pretty well in the Northeast, but I think we're really gonna try to push towards the Northwest, and then big focus is on, you know, kind of, you know, we've talked about the authenticity of the brand and how me and all the boys that are at the shop, you know, all the girls that work for me are all skiers and rippers. And so I was telling you earlier, you know, like we've got a YouTube channel now and we haven't really promoted it much, but we're trying to just put, you know, a decent amount of content on there. So if someone do go to the YouTube channel, then they kind of get lost in that YouTube rabbit hole, which we've all done. And then, you know, the blog, just trying to make it all come together. I think you have to have the blog and the YouTube and the Instagram and the Instagram TV and having that really good direct-to-consumer experience. You know, I think that's what we're going to try to really push for is that get that website to where the experience is really awesome. And, you know, I think we're gonna add this fit guide because, you know, it's really hard to buy a hat online without trying it on. And I think, you know, trying to just get people to – You know, I think like the free returns thing is something that we're going to look into, like the Zappos model. You know, they call themselves a customer service business and not a shoe company.
Yeah.
So yeah, blog, YouTube, expanding Northwest, and then just really, really just cranking away, just kind of keep doing what we're doing. You know.
Yeah.
With the custom stuff, with the, you know, our own stuff, or the custom stuff. Tons of growth for the custom stuff because of how easy we make it for people to do things. Like we just did some hats for RMU, turned them around in a couple of days, turned around these Red Bull hats really quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep grinding and you know, there's always the Evos and the REIs and the backcountries of the world that, you know, we might try to start to pitch pretty soon here. Like we've got pretty good distribution in all the Vail Resort stores. And like I said, we just got into Gorsuch. So yeah, there's just, it's hard to say. It's kind of everything, right? It's
like,
kind of three segments of the business. There's our D2C online, there's our custom, and then there's our wholesale. So, you know, we're always just trying to push all three, to be honest with you, until we kind of figure out which one's the most profitable. But that's going to be hard after only 2 years of historical data.
Yeah, and I think the answer is all of them.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I just don't think that you could ever say, like, only online or only in store, you know, like, cause why money's money at the end of the day, right? Like it's coming in as long as it's not harming you.
No,
you know, in any way.
And I think it depends, you know, it's how much effort you put into each of them. Like I know a company, local company that went off of doing direct to consumer cause they do so well with like, you know, the resorts and doing their logoed wear stuff. And they went totally off of the direct to consumer. But I mean, I think that's really tough for us. Cause I mean, we get, you know, someone from Switzerland will buy $200 worth of hats.
Yeah.
You know, like every, you know, we'll get these orders or we'll get, you know, these custom hat orders and, you know, it's margins are awesome, which is, that's the margins.
Yeah.
Right. So, so I think we're going to push them all still, but come to a point where we're going to maybe really focus on one or the other with, you know, we spend so little money on marketing because of how lucky and fortunate we've been with, you know, all of our organic growth. But I think it's coming to the point in time we're going to start to really invest some money into
the beer.
Drinking this Great Divide here. Sorry about that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to figure out which one is making us the most money and maybe focus a little more than that. But like you said, push all three.
Yeah. What do you think is the marketing push? Like what are you looking at right now? I mean, because obviously like everybody talks about like social media promotion. Everybody talks about promoting in, well, not everybody talks about anymore, promoting in magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, but that is still a viable option for some things.
Yeah, you know? I think we're going to roll out this like pretty structured ambassador program.
Okay.
Right now it's pretty loose.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Chris, can I have a hat?
Hey, you look like you do rad shit. Pick out three hats and we'll ship them to you. So we're going to launch a pretty structured, so anybody listening that wants to be an ambassador, you know, write us an email, drop us a DM. So we'll have a pretty structured there. Definitely want to start to do some very targeted Instagram and Facebook ads. Like, you know, we've got some hats that are, you know, not something that you and I would wear, like a Tequila Baby Do It or a Rose All Day or a Sunday Funday or an Aspen or a Vail hat with like these really fancy finishes. But like, you know, targeting women that live in Dallas, Atlanta, New York City, LA.
There's people that want that.
Yeah, that like that Vail and Aspen in Park City.
Yeah.
You know, so doing some really targeted marketing with that stuff. You know, we haven't done anything with Google AdWords. We've done no SEO. People are probably like, what a bunch of idiots. Like, we can barely keep up as it is. And I've hired, you know, I've got five, six part-time guys and a full-time guy and me. and two other, one part-time designer and one guy part-time editing the video. So we've, but it's kind of funny. We've done no SEO. It's pretty funny sometimes when I look at some of the things and I'm like, you know, someone will call Shopify on some issue and the guy will be like, by the way, have you noticed that you haven't done this? And it's like, we're 18 months in or 15 months in. And the guy's like, this is a pretty basic thing that you guys haven't done. And we're like, well, let us know how to do it. And, you know, we'll do it right now. Yeah. So I think that's kind of just getting all that dialed. I mean, you can go on forever about you.
Dude, there's so much tech shit out there. There's so much shit that just fills a giant cup of bullshit.
Instagram, TV, like, is that people going to be able to monetize that? Like, you know, the YouTube thing is big. I mean, it's just endless. Like, I mean, we have a Twitter account. I don't think we've ever posted on it. It's just there's limited bandwidth, right? There's limited time in the day. There's limited.
And it's like you got to commit to the shit that you're good at, right? Like, you guys are good on Instagram. Like, that's important. Like, be good at it, you know? Yeah. There is something to be said, I guess, for doubling down on things that are good. Not that you should do everything, right? But it's...
In a perfect world, you would do everything.
In a perfect world, you'd be good at everything.
$500 right? a month on Google AdWords. I'm going to spend X amount of dollars on this. I'm going to spend X amount of dollars on this a month. And it's really hard when you're kind of balling on a budget, you know, and just trying to pay the bills and pay everybody and grow sustainably.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be done. There's all of us in this small company world, or, you know, this little, you know, all of these little niche market brands that, you know,
ski industry.
So it's, we'll see what works. It's going to be interesting, but we're definitely going to start spending some money, which we haven't done in the past.
Yeah. I mean, we've spent is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That you guys aren't, like, you guys are doing really fucking well just naturally. Yeah. Like, it's just like, which is one of the things that I think makes it work, though. So, how do you, like, balance what got you here?
Yeah.
And all this new shit, like, new upbringing, right? Because, like, it's all the time you see it. Like, somebody starts to blow up, and then they get a sponsor, and then they're just pushing ads down people's throats. And then you're like, get the fuck out of my face. And then that person doesn't. It's like,
happening a lot right now, too.
A lot, because influencer marketing is fucking.
Yeah, and it's, like, so not authentic. And we try not to push stuff down people's throats, but it's hard at the end of the day because we need to pay the bills. Like, we have rent now. I'm paying health insurance for people. Like, it's real now.
Yeah, you know, it's
like,
legit.
I have to pay my accountant, and before I would, like, you know,
buy him beers.
Yeah. Lots of beers. You know, so it's definitely a delicate balance between, you know, just shoving stuff down people's throat. And that's why, like, some of our videos, like, we're not pushing any product, or some of our posts, like,
they're just fun.
Like, I posted this video of my buddy Lockie on the standing wave in Eagle, and, like, he's not wearing a Ski Town All-Star hat, he's not wearing a wetsuit, that, you know, he's not wearing anything, but it's a cool video, and, like, I took it, and it's my buddy. And I think that's what we're going to keep pushing, is, like, you know, unfortunately you guys have to see a lot of me. You know, but me tagging myself in a photo, liking your own post,
but, like,
but, you know, it's real. It's authentic. It's not just like these other brands that are just grabbing, you know, some of these accounts that are pretty big are just grabbing any cool video they can find. Like, I don't post it
or buying followers. I mean, we're not, like, calling people out, but, like, half of everybody's favorite brands.
They've all been. I know, and it's really hard because we're trying to do it organically.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, to get to 10K is, like,
that's the goal.
It's seeming like, you know, it's funny when you look at these brands that are just so big and they grow so fast, and you're like, how'd you do that? But to get there organically and just kind of just slogging away at it, like, posting every day, stories every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's cool too. When we post a picture of someone wearing something, and we do a tag product, and, like, you know, you post it, and 5 minutes later, someone buys the hat. You're like, that's cool. That worked.
If nothing else, it's brand recognition.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are now aware. Like, that's, like, when I first made an Instagram page for the ski shop.
Yep.
It was like I was making one just so that people on Instagram knew that there was a ski. Because there were different people to me than the people that were walking in the door. So it's like, it's a new opportunity to just tell somebody you exist. It's not like you shouldn't be looking at it like, buy my shit right now.
Yeah.
You should be looking at it like, there's a guy out there who doesn't know who I am, but might really like my shit.
Yep.
Just because it's the same kind of shit he would like normally. Yeah. You know, that's kind of how it should work. But
yeah, and that's kind of like when I you know, a lot of these events we do, it's all about storytelling, right? So yeah. we give out so many stickers, and the back of the sticker says, like, join the party, follow us on Instagram. And I'm always like, hey, you know, if you want to see cool videos, it's all of, like, me and my buddies. It's all me and my all these girls that are really awesome and rad and hot, and, you know, they're all doing rad shit. And, you know, like, chances are, like, you're going to like the stuff on there. You know, it's like it's funny. Yeah, it's tough to not shove it down people's throats, but at the end of the day, you're trying to run a business and you're trying to grow. And but yeah, no, I think there's a delicate balance, right? Everything gets judged, right? Yeah. And then you get the Instagram anxiety of, like, you know, is this post going to be a dud or what?
Yeah, you're getting 7 likes, you're getting 700 or what?
And who knows what they're doing? I don't even want to talk about it, get into it, but we don't know.
Gives me a goddamn headache, yeah.
We don't have a crystal ball.
No, they don't. I don't know if they have a crystal ball. I think they're just like, let's just fucking judge it today.
Let's try this week. Let's try.
What do you think?
This.
They're getting rid of likes. You hear that? Or they're talking about it?
Yeah, I heard that. I thought they were doing it sooner than later.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought they were.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna happen.
Gone.
Yeah.
I think what's gonna happen, and who knows? I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't have any inside information. But I think it's gonna be where every business out there is gonna, every post you do, it's gonna be like, do you want to promote this with $5 or $10? Or do you want to promote every post with $5? And like, there's so much content out there that I think it's the only way it's going to be able to separate all the content.
Yeah.
You know, which is unfortunate, but I don't know. I don't see it. There's so many brands. There's so many cool brands. And there's so many cool people.
So much shit. Think about how many Instagram accounts there are between the two of us, right?
Yeah.
Like, just that we run, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like that, but so you multiply that by, say, there's 100,000 people, which is probably conservative, that have at least 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
there's too many accounts, and I think that's the core of it is cool, because it's, you know, stuff will go organically viral, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think also sometimes you've got what you think is a cool post or a cool pic or something cool, and it doesn't get the engagement that you hoped it would. And
just
because
people don't see it.
People don't see it. Like, you look at your impressions, like, on all of our business. If you guys have a business account, you look at your impressions and you're like, I have, you know, say 8,500 followers and only 2,000 people saw it. And chances are some of those were from the, you know, hashtags or tag photos. So, you know, they're not even showing it to everybody following you. So I think that's.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think people don't get, is like, that's part of the reason, like, that brands do all these fucking hashtags. Like, I don't think at the core of it people understand what social media even really is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, that's the purpose, is like to make your shit seen, because, I mean, we say we have 3,000 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, on a day, our weekly engagements, like, I don't know, 800, yeah. You know, it's like 900 maybe.
Yeah.
Is like, that's what it fucking, and you can see all these, like, different demographics. You can see what times are really hot for you.
Yeah.
You can see, like, how many male versus female, and like, it's really odd, man. I mean,
weird.
It's just,
more males like our stuff. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking same. Can you imagine that? Like,
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to target more females.
That's probably pretty easy though.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you just, more is like a very, more
just,
is more.
Just post pictures of Johnny Collinson photoshopping a hat with
him
doing push-ups.
Yeah, the dude's ripped as fuck.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Well, shout out Johnny Collinson.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get him on here one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man. I've hung out with him a couple times in Aspen.
Really?
Good dude.
Yeah, seems like a good dude.
Yep.
But both of them, they're a fucking power
awesome.
Duo, those two.
Yeah,
like,
they're rad.
They're awesome.
Rad humans for sure.
Yeah. So what else is going on? What's the rest of the summer look like for you?
Man, we're building out the van.
Oh, yeah.
We had the hashtag van life, which is pretty hilarious. We got it back in January, and the goal was to build it out really fast. And then we moved into the office in Eastvale and had to build that out. And since I used to build homes, I kind of take it upon myself to do everything myself and not ask for help. So the van's been a work in progress, but it's been awesome for events. And hopefully once it gets done, I'm going to travel some, just take some. I'm just super stoked to go to a trailhead at nighttime and sleep there, and then wake up, do a quick 14er or something.
Yeah.
And then come to work by 11. But it's been awesome for events and, you know.
Walking billboard kind of.
Yeah. It's not as bad as the 4Runner. It's
yeah.
more subtle than the 4Runner.
It's clean.
Yeah.
It's super
yeah.
clean.
It's just a charcoal van with small black logos, not like my 4Runner, which was a very lifted white 4Runner with very large black logos. But no, the van's been awesome. Super stoked to just kind of go down that route. And, you know, people are kind of sometimes poo-poo the van life thing. But if you've never slept in a van versus your tent, like in Moab or Fruta, you wouldn't, like, if you have, you're not
going to. Who's shitting on van life?
I feel like people, like some of my rep buddies that have, like, driven around in vans. Fucking. They're like, oh, you got a van. You get, oh, like, why don't you just get a Tundra with a cab? And I'm like, and I'm actually super stoked on my van. You know, it's got like a heater. It's got the
you got a fan. You got fucking,
fan. Yeah, we got solar. We got batteries. We got.
Dude, it's nicer than my fucking house. Like yeah. The inside of that van. It's gonna is be really nice.
We're
house.
Getting there. So, but yeah. So that's been fun. But it's like kind of like leave here at 6, try to go do something fun, and then literally go work on the van with a headlamp, which is what I was. If you guys watched my story the other night, I was installing the motor on the awning and then some LED lights, and I'm like got this headlamp on, like wiring shit up at like 10:30 at night. So, but yeah, it's I enjoy that stuff. When you go from building houses every day to not touching a tool, it's kind of fun to get back in it actually. Yeah. So it's been
re-enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I haven't done this in a while. Like I haven't gotten out my table saw, my chop saw, my nail guns in a while, and I'm like, this is. I don't want to do this all day, every day like I used to do, but it's definitely something.
It's good to know how to do it, too.
Yeah, it's sweet to know how to do it, and I think, you know, my van might be over the top. And, like, also, we made this joke, too, where it's like once it gets done, like, the employee of the month's going to be able to, like, take it out one weekend a year. So it's kind of funny. I just joke with my main guy because he's, like, literally the employee of the month every month.
Yeah, because he's the only,
because he's the only full-time employee. Yeah. And he's been crushing it too. So it's just kind of funny because I'm like, pretty soon, man, employee of the month, going to be able to take the van out for a weekend. You're going to
hang a plaque above that mirror over there or some shit. Like,
employee of the month.
Employee of the month, right fucking there.
12 straight months in a row, the only full time employee. I'll have to give it to myself. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably could. I mean, I'm sure everybody wouldn't be super happy
about
that. Yeah,
so just van life and then just getting outside and getting after it. You know, like we talked a little bit about all the crap that's gone on and had some seriously awful losses this year. And it kind of just makes you think about life and you know, that live every day like it's your last type of thing. So, you know, me and all my buddies have just been trying to every day, like, you know, I think this past week we stand up paddleboard at the Gore. We biked twice, surfed the Eagle Wave and kind of just try to get out every day and do something fun because life is short and precious and beautiful and just got to get after it. And I think, you know, everybody listening, just, you know, get outside, go do stuff. You know, that's, I think, we try to, you know, we don't do it just to post shit, but we do it because we love it. We do it because it's good for the soul and it's good for your head. Just get outside and enjoy the, you know, even if you're back east or wherever, just get outside and do stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, anywhere. You don't have to live somewhere like Vale to go out and do shit.
Exactly. But yeah.
Yeah, just doing shit I think is super. That's a thing that people don't do enough. It's just like there's always a reason, I think.
Yeah, everybody's got an excuse, yeah.
Yeah, I got work, I got this. Like fucking, we work a lot. Like, yeah, and we're grinding. Fucking we're making grinding. Time to go ride bikes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you got to make it a priority, I think, and I think not enough people do that right now.
It's your mental health. I mean, seriously, it's like it boils down to like your long-term mental health is kind of like based on how much release you have.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whether it's out, if your thing's not outside and your thing is just like fucking going and hanging out with your friends, then do that. I mean, I think outside's probably better, but.
Yeah, I think it's some healthy habits versus the, you know, like we definitely, people know we definitely like to party, but we definitely like to, you know, get outside and do stuff just as much, if not more. I mean, it morphed from like this party brand to just this doing shit brand. And we still party because partying's fun.
Yeah, and, it's boring. Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah, partying's fun. I like partying.
So before we wrap this thing up, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You did a bunch of testing this year.
Yeah.
What was that like? How'd you get involved with that? What's the scoop on being a ski tester?
Oh man, I like it because it's. Like we were talking about before, it's getting to hang out with really cool people, like-minded people. So we did the free skier test, which was super fun with those boys. You were at that. We partied a little bit together. They're exhausting. You know, it's a struggle bus.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Especially in Aspen. Anytime in Aspen's like Vegas, you're like 36 hours and you're like, I gotta go. Get me out of here.
Yeah, I'll just sleep.
And then I did a bunch of testing for ski for John Jay and him. And it's super fun. It's you know, it's the same sales managers and it's the same people. And I don't know. It's pretty awesome. It's a pretty cool little culture, little subculture. And I'm sure I'll do more and more every year. You get to try a lot of cool stuff, you know, and everybody, you know, my thing with the testing is I try to ski the same ski, the same run, make the same turns, the same short, long, you know, slide them out, you know, try to like do the same thing and try to give every ski a fair shake, you know, regardless of the top sheet. I almost wish the top sheets were blank.
Yeah.
And you
didn't
know, because I think there's a huge, 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 you know, issue with that, because you're like, you know, you'll have something in your head about a brand or a ski that you're, before you even get on it, you're like, I don't like this brand. I don't like this ski.
Yeah. You know, I wish for the brand aspect for sure. Yeah. Because there's definitely brands that I get on that I'm like, what the fuck am I even doing trying this? You know, I don't think, for me, the color thing doesn't.
Yeah. I just think it'd be cool to do like, you know, when you do like a Pepsi versus Coke blind taste test or
like the protos that they send out and they're like, when they're like true blanks.
Yeah, true blank top sheets. I mean, I don't think it'll ever get that way, but I think that would be the extremely non-biased way to test skis. You know, and I know like I couldn't test any K2s this year because, you know, I ski on them. So I think that's huge is, you know, like I can't be like, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Oh, the new Mindbender 116, which is an amazing ski. I'm not going to, like, it is an awesome
ski. It is a great ski.
It's a great ski. 108, I really got to like, too. So I got to plug K2 because.
This episode is sponsored by Fisher Skis, by the way.
The Ranger was awesome.
I'm just kidding. I mean, it is, but I mean, hey.
No, so I think.
No, it is. That Mindbender is fucking dope. Like, I've talked about that ski a bunch already. Like,
yeah, so, like, and, like, it's kind of funny, the 108, in the beginning, I kind of was like, It's a lot of ski. And then towards the end of the year, I think I got a little stronger and then it turned out to be my favorite ski every day. It's like, like my buddy who's the rep Clem, in Colorado, he's like, it's the Widowmaker. I'm like, all right, Clem, relax.
I don't know if it's that serious.
Stop breaking yourself on.
You know what it is? It's
enduro bikes.
Not a K2. You know, it's not an old school like washy like the last couple renditions of the ski.
Deal Holyfield.
Yeah.
You know, it
rips.
Yeah. It rips.
There's
a lot of skis that rip.
So many good ones this year.
And I think it's funny too because everybody has different skiing styles, so that's going to really, you know, you're obviously going to like certain skis better than others by the way you ski.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part about testing that's tough is that, you know, if you've got a park background or a racing background, you're going to like different skis.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to like, you know, someone's going to like a ski totally different than someone else because they just ski differently. And that's why everybody makes different skis in different shapes. It's not like everyone's making the same ski look the same, same technology. Like everyone's doing different stuff. Everyone's doing different profiles, different sizes, different rockers, different underfoots. I think that's what's cool about it because there's not just one ski for everybody and there never will be.
Yeah.
So
I think the nice thing is though, like to that, almost to the opposite point of that is like skis are just fucking good now. Like, I mean,
all of them,
everything's good.
That's like, you're not going to be bummed if you can't decide between four models and or two models and you pick the other one and you're not going to be bummed. You're just, honestly, you're going to be stoked that you're on a newer ski with new technology.
No. Yeah.
You know, you're going to be stoked regardless of what you're on. I think
there was maybe one ski all year that I was like, this ski's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk about it right
now.
No,
we're not.
Yeah. So,
I had a couple of those too, but
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like,
somebody,
they kind of know too.
Yeah. And the test.
Not the sales reps. The sales reps are like, oh, dude, this is the best ski ever.
I really like when a brand can be like, yeah, we need to fix that. We know that. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, hey, I think this, you know, and then they're like, yep, we know. And so I think that's
important.
I like that way more than like maybe the tune was off.
Let me detune the tip a little for you.
That's my least favorite fucking answer.
Oh, we must have waxed cold and it's hot out today. Like just
we
used
Montana instead of Winterstar. Yeah. I've heard that before and I was like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
No,
I think I think when a company can be honest about a ski, I think those are the sales managers that I like, and those are the kids that work at different companies that I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it just says something about the brand.
Yeah.
You know, if, especially if like the people from the brand feel like it's okay to say that, you know, just be honest about the product.
And they're, and they, just like us, then just like you guys, just like this podcast, like everything's always evolving, right? We're always evolving. We're always trying to get better. We're always trying to do better. We're always trying to make things quicker, ship things faster,
right.
Make better product, make things cooler. And same thing with them. Like they're not trying to make a bad ski. You know,
yeah, just sometimes some
they, that sometimes they miss, sometimes they miss something or they, you know,
and it's like very detailed. It's like a small thing makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But all right, dude, tell people where they can find you on the gram, on the internet.
Yeah. So, the interwebs, it's www.skitownallstars.com, no hyphen. And then Instagram, it's at skitownallstars. We have a YouTube channel, but I don't even know what it is. It's probably just /skitownallstars. Yeah. And then if you're ever in Vail, just definitely come by and say what's up. You might get iced. I was going to ice you, but you got to drive to Denver. I've been iced so many times recently. But it's all fun, man. It's all fun.
It's all fun and games.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this, dude.
Yeah, no. Thanks for having me again.
All right.
All right. And that was episode 61 with Chris Bivona. Don't you like, he has the kind of name where you can kind of like be like, Chris Bivona, you know? Just as a reminder, this episode is sponsored by Burn Helmets, and thank you to those guys for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Be sure to use promo code Out of Bounds to save some cash on your next purchase of a lid, because you probably should protect that dome if you got anything useful in there. Like I said before, follow Chris on Instagram, follow Ski Town All Stars on Instagram. Those guys are awesome. If nothing else, Ski Town All Stars is some of the best ski outdoor content. I think in the industry. But yeah, hit them up for sure. It's SkiTownAllStars.com. They're, Chris is a great dude and they've got a great crew, working there now. And the new space is awesome. So if you are in Vail, hit them up, go see the space. It's totally open to the public. You can even get a hat design right there. I don't know. I don't think they're making it for you on the spot, but they will design it for you right there. But yeah, thank you to everybody listening, and be sure to follow us on social media. If you don't, obviously it's just Out of Podcast. Be sure to leave us an iTunes review. That helps a ton as always. I'd love to see those numbers get up. I actually am going to start, doing a couple promos with doing some iTunes reviews. I mean, I know most people like seem like they've been listening on Spotify or other platforms, but the iTunes thing is big for us for sure. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys. We'll see you in a couple days when we have Kelly Jones. Thank you. Bye.